Luke asked if I would just share a few stories of what God has done in Estonia and just the crazy fun things that we got to see happen. And he also asked me to share a little bit of my testimony. So just to get to know us a little bit better, I grew up here in Minnesota. I grew up in Cloquet, just outside of Cloquet on 10 acres, and I loved it. My dad is number 6 of 16 children, so we grew up just loving life. And my grandfather owned steam engine? Yes, with a sawmill. And so we actually physically built our house. Like, we made the 2x4s and we built the house that my dad still lives in today. And I loved it. I loved that we could ride our four-wheelers around anywhere we felt like. And in the winter, our snowmobiles. And just, I love being back here in northern Minnesota. It feels like home to me. But growing up, I did not attend a church. My dad, growing up, was Catholic. And he, when he moved out of the house and was on his own, wasn't something that we did as a family. We did not go to church. And so I grew up not really knowing much about the Lord. I knew a few things. I knew that there was church. I knew that there was a Bible. But I didn't understand anything about it whatsoever. And one of my earliest memories is my mom passed away when I was a young girl. I was about 7 years old, just about 8, actually, when she passed away in a car accident. And then my dad got remarried, and it wasn't necessarily a good marriage, and that brought in a lot of things into our home that just were not good and caused a lot of hurt and pain in my life. And by the time I was just a young teenager, I tried to end my life a few times because I didn't have any kind of hope. I didn't understand what life was about, and I had a lot of hurt that I didn't know how to deal with. And there was one friend at school who invited me to a play. He asked me to come see him in a play, and I said, sure. I didn't ask him the name of the play. I didn't ask him what it was about. I just got there on Friday night and sat down in my seat. And the play was Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. I don't know if you guys know that play at all, but it's about an hour-long presentation of the gospel is what it is. But to me, I love acting and plays and theater, so that drew me in, not even knowing anything about it. And that night, I experienced God's love and his forgiveness, and I experienced a new life and a joy that I had never seen before in people. I didn't know what that was like. And from that moment on, our youth pastor kind of just brought me into church, and that church loved me. I was a very rough teenage girl. I was mean. I said mean things. I did mean things. I was not nice. Not at all. But that church took me in and just loved me and just showed me what it was to be a woman of God, to be a woman of prayer, how to read my Bible. I had so many weird questions. What is Psalms? That was a question that I asked because I didn't know. I had no idea. And they kind of chuckled with me, and that was okay, but they just took me right where I was at and helped me grow. And I think that was very key for what I'm doing now. Because where we serve at in missions is a place where people just don't know. It's not that some of them maybe have chosen, no, I don't believe in that, and they know about it, and they just choose not to believe. But a lot of them choose not to believe because they just have never been taught. And a story that I'm going to share about a young woman named Kristen is a very similar story to what I had. And So let me just say this really quick. So I went to that church for 3 years. I graduated. I went down to the cities, to the Twin Cities, to Master's Commission. It's a hands-on Bible training college. And that's where I met Luke, and we were there for 3 years. Then God brought us to Red Wing, Minnesota, and we were youth and kids pastors, and that's how I got to meet Pastor Brian at kids camp. And then we went to Mora, Minnesota, which that's not too terribly far from here, just down 65. And we were there before we went into missions. But I believe that God put a heart in me for missions when I was a teenager, just like he did for Luke. We both were able to go on a missions trip when we were teenagers. And that just put something inside of us that says we want to do more for missions. We weren't sure what that looked like, but any chance that we could, we sent people on missions trips. We went on missions trips. We gave to missions. And then the opportunity came where we were asked to join a church planting team in Tallinn, Estonia. And when Luke first brought that up to me, I didn't even know where that was. I had no idea. I had no clue. And so I got on the computer and I looked up, where is Tallinn, Estonia? And it's just south of Finland. And that became our home for 3 years. We moved there with our three kiddos. Never had been there. We didn't know the language. We didn't know anyone. And we just said, God, use us. Use us to reach the people that are around us. Because we know that you provided, you have brought us here, and we're ready to be used by you. And I remember some of those first weeks there, because it had been a dream for so long that God put in my heart. And I remember being there going, how in the world did this northern Minnesota girl end up overseas? Like, I can't fathom that, but we know that in the word that it says that God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are beyond our thoughts. The plans that he has for us exceed anything that we could think, dream, or imagine. And I believe that. I believe that for each one of us in this room, that no matter where you find yourself in life, that there's some little dreams that are just tucked away inside. And God wants to do those dreams that are inside your heart. Maybe it's to see a family member come to know him. Maybe it's a neighbor that you've just been praying for. But I truly believe that God wants to do above and beyond what we can think, dream, or ask, or imagine. He really does. And we want to be praying with you guys and believing with you guys that he's going to do great things here in Big Fork. So the story of Kristen. Morgan, when we first moved to Tallinn, was in fourth grade, and we moved halfway through the school year. And that is a little rough when you're in fourth grade. Just a little, Morgan will say. It was a very rough transition for her, but God was faithful. Her first teacher was Kristen. And our first encounter with Kristen was really funny because she was very much, you know, follow the rules. You're late. Do not be late to school. Why are you late? Yeah, get her here on time, you know, and we were just still figuring out how to get around the city. It's a very large city. We had never been there. And so we began this relationship with her. We invited all the different teachers that the kids had. We invited them over to our house for different, we love to play board games and cards and just eat food. Who doesn't like to eat food? Everybody likes to eat food. So we invited people over each month to come to our house, and Kristen began coming, and then we had her over just one night for dinner, and she made it very clear that night. She goes, you know, this Jesus stuff, that's for you guys, and that's not for me. And we said, that's totally fine. We think you're fun. By that point, we saw the fun side of her, that she enjoys life, she smiles, that she was fun. And so we began this just relationship with her. And come that fall, we started an Alpha course. So an Alpha course is just a 8 to 9 week. Oh, you guys know Alpha. Oh, great. That's awesome. So Alpha came around and I started just inviting some of the teachers that I'd met and some people that I had met. And Kristen was the first one to respond and said, yes, I'm coming. And I thought, okay. Because she definitely made it clear that that just wasn't for her. And she came each week. And she was the one at the table that asked, you know, the opposite question. Well, why do you believe that? And how come I have to have a Bible? And what is this? And, well, what about this point of view? And why don't we believe this? And, well, how about this? She always had these questions, which I love that about Alpha, that people can come and ask questions, and it's not frowned upon, and they're not laughed at. That's what they're there for, is to really understand the Bible and God. And that's what she was doing. And by about week six, Luke got up, and he was speaking on why is there evil, and about healing that night. And she said when she looked up at him, it was like she saw the face of Jesus. And that following week, she sent me a message, and the message had a link to a song, and it was the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, No Turning Back. And from that moment on, she just went full in, all in. She was reading her Bible on her own. Her and I just met once a week for just discipleship and answering questions, because she had those silly questions too of what is Psalms and how do I read the Bible? Why is it so big? Do I have to read it all? And that was okay, because I explained to her, I said, I know exactly what you're feeling. You feel overwhelmed because everyone else knows everything about the Bible and you maybe don't. I said, but you just start out and you'll learn every day and you'll grow every day. And now Kristen is studying to become a pastor. She's leading the Alpha courses at Focus Church. We started a church, Focus Church, that she attends. She's one of the main leaders. She helps in all kinds of capacities. But to watch her life be radically transformed is truly amazing. And it's very humbling, because we know that we couldn't be there without people like you, without churches like you that give very faithfully so that we can be there. And people like Kristen's lives can be, her life is totally changed, totally changed. She's still a teacher, but she hopes to one day be doing pastoral ministry and doing work in the church. That's amazing and mind-blowing to me in so many areas, in so many ways. And as we look to going to Lithuania, we know and we hope and pray that God would line up stories like that again and again and again. And Luke's going to share a few more stories about Estonia as well. So,
thank you, Tanya. I love listening to my wife speak. Don't you? Yes. I want to put a parking brake just for a second on our story. And I want to encourage you as a church. There is something special that God is doing in this city. There's something, some sort of extra special favor that he's put on your pastor. Your pastor wants to see this community come to know Christ. Do you want this community to come to see Christ and know him and meet him? Let's get a little bit more southern in our northern amens. Let's get a little more southern. Do you want to see people in your city come to know Christ? Yeah. I believe that you're almost at, if you're at 45% or 10%, you're at 45 people, right? So you're going to be making a large influence at 45 people. And when that happens, you're already getting the parking lot ready. You're already getting things ready. You're already building bridges between the community and the church. Because for whatever reasons, those bridges get burned in America somehow. They don't want anything to do with the church because they think they're going to brainwash us and all this kind of stuff. Oh, you don't want. No, we want to work together with the community to build quality individuals that are going to be able to make our community better. And we want to add the spiritual support that God can offer, right? We want to partner with that. Yeah. right? We want to make a strong community that believes in God. We want to be able to have those bridges so that we have the authority to say, hey, you can come to faith in Christ. And I think that's what's going on here in this town. Your pastor was telling me last night, till like midnight, he's kept talking. I kept listening. I'm like, this is amazing. All these crazy things that God is doing here. This doesn't just happen. God is doing something. So I wanted to encourage you on that again. Like, God is at work. He is doing something. So it's okay to be excited about it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We came from a very stoic country. I understand why northern Minnesotans are the way that they are. Because I went back to our motherland, Finland. And if you're not from Finland, Norway. And if you're not from Norway, Sweden. I don't know. I want to call you Swedes, but it's predominantly Finnish in here or Norwegian. How about German? German. Okay. Sprechen Sie tongues. Sprechen Sie Deutsch. So maybe that's not exactly where it's from. Well, my family's from the Nordic land, and I realize why when we get together at holidays, we all look at each other like this after we eat. And Tanya says, are we going to play a game or something? And we're like, nope, this is what we do. Letting the food digest. Just sit there and stare. But I realized that outside influences, when we moved to Estonia, can definitely cause us to be silenced. They occupied Estonia as well at one point, but the Soviet occupation caused every person in those couple of generations for 50 years, that caused them to just clam up and to be absolutely silent. When you walk on the street, I joke and I say it's an introvert's paradise because nobody talks to you. So if you don't like talking to people, you can just walk in a straight line. You get places so quickly because nobody stops you. Hey, none of that. It's all like, phew. And you get on the bus, there's like 50 people with you. There is nobody talking. They're either on their phone or they're staring out the window or kind of doing this thing. There's something about when you experience God and you experience his freedom, you just really don't care.
Amen.
What the others are going to think, because you want and understand, you want them to I'm getting ahead of myself. You're simply wanting them to understand the joy that you feel. And sometimes it's hard to express. And sometimes you may, you know, be pretty quiet about how you say things. But at the same time, don't be afraid to say things. Because if you don't say something, how are they ever going to hear anything? How are they ever going to understand what you believe or know what you believe or want to even participate in what you believe if they don't hear it? They'll see, they'll understand from what you do, but at the same time, they need you to speak. And some of the stories that we have are just very simple. We walked into Estonia. We had no idea what in the world we were doing. We walk in, and we look around, and we're like, whoa, there's just cars everywhere, people going every place, there's stuff going on. And we're like, we don't know how to get anywhere yet. So we finally figured out how to rent a car from, you know, our team leader. He's like, go call this number, rent this car, get a car for a week, figure out how to get by your Speed to Light car. Praise God, the youth of Minnesota, they paid for our Speed to Light car so we could go in and we could get a car. So now we're like, well, how do we get anywhere? So praise God for a phone that has GPS on it that you can find your way around, and you can type in the addresses in the city and they tell you where to go, and they say the name's really funny and you don't know how to, you know, where's the street? They're not labeled the same way. Their labels are on the building and not on the street, like the pole. And they're not like this big that you can't see them. They're like big on the street, on the side of the houses and the buildings. And so we had to like learn all these different things and learn that culture is different, but Christ transcends culture.
Amen.
The love of God transcends culture. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how stoic you may be. There's nothing wrong with being stoic, okay? But you do have to tell your wife more than at the altar that you love her, you know, right? Like, if anything else changes, I'll let you know. And, you know, 50 years later, you still have to tell your wife that you love her every day, right? And you still can exercise faith by saying Jesus loves you to other people, or exercising that love to others around you. There are quite a bit of needs in your community, I would imagine. As in every community, there's a lot of needs, right? And if we just look at the needs and the resources, we may say, oh my goodness, this is overwhelming. Like, how are we ever going to reach all these needs? How are we ever going to facilitate all the things we need to in order to make sure everybody's fed and make sure everybody has heat and make sure everybody's bills are paid and make sure the list is endless, right? The needs are not going on unseen. God is paying attention to the needs, and more so, not just physical needs, but he's paying attention to the spiritual needs. Look beyond the physical needs of the community that you live in. Some of you live a little bit further away than others from this particular location. Some are 40 feet and others are 40 miles, right? And we have all kinds of needs around us. Think about the spiritual need of everybody who's around you. Just picture that in your mind right now. Picture the people that you will see on a daily basis, or maybe your work takes you to different places and different people all the time, and you realize the spiritual needs of people around you as you're standing there going, whoa, this person knows only four-letter words, and that must be a sign that there's something else going on inside their heart, that maybe they don't understand who God is, you know, and you understand the needs. And even the needs inside of your own heart spiritually. In Exodus 3, verses 7 and 8, it says this: "The Lord said, I have seen how my people are suffering as slaves in Egypt, and I have heard them beg for my help because of the way they are being mistreated. I feel sorry for them and have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians. Now listen to this. I will bring my people out of Egypt into a country where there is a lot of good land, rich with milk and honey. I will give them the land where all the Ites live, and I will give them this land." But who is he talking to in this particular portion of scripture? Let me give you a little bit of context. He's talking to Moses. This is Moses' calling right here. He's speaking to Moses and saying, guess what, dude? You're hiding out with Jethro in the wilderness, but you're going back and you're going to deliver the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh. And he's like, whoa, back up, God. No, just take a seat. Take a seat. I'm taking my seat. I don't know. You're not telling me to go talk to this Pharaoh dude. He's scary. I murdered somebody. I don't know how to speak. I'm in trouble with him. I ran away. I disowned him. He's going to have all kinds of trouble with me. I'm not going back there to talk to him. I'm insecure. I'm unprepared. I cannot speak. God's, you know, hearing all of Moses' excuses. And don't we do the same kind of thing when God's prompting our hearts to, like, bake a cake and take it to your neighbor? But what if the cake doesn't turn out and I don't really have enough time? And what if they ask me a question? And what if they're actually home when I bring it to them? I'll have to talk to them. Right? We come up with all these excuses. And it's not that all of us don't have them. It's that we're really tenaciously clinging to the side of that boat. And the more we cling to it, the more frightful we get. And the longer we wait, the more petrified our heart gets. And our teeth start chattering, our knees start knocking, like, oh, I don't know that I can do this. If we take some notes from Peter, he just says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to get out. I want to implore you, like, encourage you. If God's speaking something to your heart and you're not quite sure if it's him, jump out of the boat and find out. Because usually he doesn't start off with, hey, Tom, why don't you go to the Empire State Building and just jump off the top and see if I'll catch you? God's not going to start with something like that, okay? He's going to start with something very attainable, very easy to do, but it's still going to scare the living life out of you for a second. And he's going to ask you to do something that's going to help bring somebody a step closer. Now, I want to set this right here for a reason. We're going to just jack it up so all of us can see. Okay, so in our communities, we have all kinds of people doing all different kinds of things. They come from different backgrounds. They have different heritages. They come from different countries. They speak different languages, maybe even. All kinds of different things are going on in our community. We have some that are addicted to substances. We have some that are religious. We have some that are just totally neutral. We have some that are very liberal. We have some that look at Jesus and some that do not. So pretend that this really poor example of a person, this mic stand, is Jesus. Just pretend with me that this could represent Jesus, and all of our seats and all of us represent our community. So if I have Jesus in me, and nobody else, say, just for sake of example, say nobody else has Jesus in them in the very perimeter that I live in, like the city or the block or the neighborhood. And I may or may not know this 100%, but if I'm the only one that has Jesus in me, how is everybody else going to learn about Jesus? Because I know, I'm from Minnesota, I understand how winter is. You know, it's cold. You drive straight home, you open that garage door, you goes up, you drive in, that garage door goes down, you sit in that car, you shut it off, you walk straight into the house, and you shut the door, right? You take off all your winter gear, and you turn on a fireplace, or you turn on the heater a little bit more, you make some warm water or hot coffee or something, and you warm back up again, right? So when it's like thawed out outside, this is a prime example. When you're out and about, no matter what time of year it is, let's break out of this routine of a shell that we have. Let's shatter that. Let's park outside of our garage sometimes, and let's not pull in. Let's not even open that garage door, and let's get out of our car. Let's spin around. I don't know. Maybe you all live like in the country, so you don't have neighbors nearby. But everybody has a neighbor somewhere, the next acreage. So position yourself to see people around you, to see the people that are around you. Notice what they're doing. Like, take notes. Like, oh, why are they spraying weed killer on that tree? Like, something. So if this is Jesus in our community, Pastor Brian, stand up for me. And say, Pastor Brian, this is just some other guy. And say I encounter him in my day. Maybe he's a clerk at the gas station or something like this. And I encounter him. My objective isn't to, okay, this is what scares the junk out of me, okay? I have to get everybody saved. That's way too much for me to comprehend. Anybody else? Does that, like, not make you feel very comfortable with your faith then? Okay, this is going to help you. God hears the needs, he sees the needs, and he feels the needs. But he's not just sending me to Big Fork. He's not just sending Pastor Brian to Big Fork. He's sending all y'all. Everybody say that, all y'all. All y'all. It's a really inclusive statement, like you guys. So Jesus says, hey, just help people one step closer. That's what he's been encouraging me with this lately. So I meet Brian, right? So I was like, hey, I ask him a few questions. I find out a little bit about him. The next time I go to the gas station or whatnot, I have you. He's like, who's this dude? How, he's so nice. And you see, he's starting to turn around a little bit. And then after I get to know him a little bit, I ask him some more questions. And then I find out how to pray for him. And then I start saying, well, I know somebody who can help you. Maybe can we just pray right now? God is a healer. And this sometimes happens within the first 5 minutes of talking to somebody. They're like, oh, man, my hip. Or you notice that they're limping. You say, hey, my God heals. You know, I believe in God, and I believe that He could bring healing to you right now. And it, if I don't ask, it won't happen. But if we ask, it might just happen. You know, would you be fine with that? 99% of people say yes. So, hey, you see what's going on here? He hasn't even moved his position. He's just changed his view. See? And now all you're doing is, as you're praying for him, you're taking him a step closer. So you can be seated. So each day, you just simply bring people one step closer to Christ. So can you run all the way to heaven every single day? No. But you can take a few steps closer to God every day and to heaven, right? You take a few, like, you see what I'm getting at here? You don't have to get everybody saved, but you do have to be responsible in knowing that what you're doing is bringing people a step closer to Christ each and every single day. And ultimately, you're going to get to the point where people are going to start coming to faith like crazy. They're going to start coming to faith every week, man. Why can't they come to faith every week right here and the other local churches wherever they are? Why can't God, like, do a move of God up here in northern Minnesota where there's just trees, cougars, and deer everywhere? Why can't he do that with all the people that live up here? He can. He can. And he can use all of us, not just me, not just Pastor Brian, not just Trina, but every single one of us have family. You know, some of us may not want to admit that we have family. I get some laughs in here anyway. And then we all have friends, and we all have co-workers, and we all have people around us that we come in contact with. So stop thinking about, how am I going to get that person saved? And just start thinking about, how can I direct that person just one step closer to Christ today? Maybe God, could you just lead me with the right words to say? I was reading this morning in Proverbs, and it was talking about the words of the wise nourish many. Man, I want to be nourishment to people. I don't want to be this loud, abrasive person who's like, do everything that I'm doing. I don't want to sell Jesus. I want people to be so satisfied after meeting me that they're like, what is this Jesus thing about? Ah, there's stuff falling off the podium. Anointing oil. It fell out. Woo. The oil is falling out. A story about this is very simple. We lived in Mora, Minnesota. The day that we moved, we were staying at this barn for a while, which was redone. It kind of looked like this on the inside of the wood paneling. Really cool. And then we moved. We found a house. We actually were able to buy it, and our house in Red Wing had sold. So we bought this house. And I was like, Tanya, we're staying there. The first night we get it, we're staying overnight. We're not staying in the barn anymore. Like, we're staying. So we had basically, like, some blankets and, I don't know, toothbrush with us at the time. And I go out and I hit the door for the button, the button for the garage door, and I'm standing there kind of scratching my belly, leaning up against the side of the door frame, just kind of like, let's see this neighborhood, right? And I see these feet walking towards me underneath the garage door. I'm like, who knows that I'm here? Like, what is going on? And I haven't brushed my teeth yet, I haven't combed my hair, nothing. And I'm standing there, and my neighbor walks up and he's like, hey, I'm your neighbor across the street. Tells me his name and starts talking to me. And he's like, yeah, the other neighbor next door goes to your church, and she told me all about you, that you moved in. I'm like, oh, spoiler alert. But it was good. So he started talking to me, asked me questions, and he goes, I have something to tell you. I go, well, shoot. He said, no, not right now. So it happened to be about 2 to 3 weeks later. He's standing in my garage again, about the same location. And I said, hey, Shane, you better tell me what that is that you had to tell me. He goes, no, not right now. I said, no, spill the beans right now. And he goes, well, okay, fine. So, you know, the night you moved in, you know, Kaylee, the other neighbor, told me about you, and I couldn't sleep a wink the whole night. I was up pacing, up and down the stairs, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't sleep at all. And he looks at me, and I'm just like, what do I say to this? He looks at me and says, so what's that all about? I go, That was God drawing you to me so I could draw you to God. And then I said, does that make sense? And he goes, yeah. Has it ever been that easy? Like, I was just sitting there like, how did that happen? Like, every time I tell somebody I'm a pastor in my neighborhood, they're like, they close the door, do the Minnesota thing, shut the door, and never see him again. Like, whoa. He's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Long story short, maybe a month or so, two months later, he has a few twin boys and a whole bunch of kids, but he had two of the twin boys really small. So I went over one time. I'm on the phone with him. He would call me every day and just, like, use up the minutes that you get for free that you never use. And I'm on the phone. I'm like, man, I need to just go talk to him, because he would come right up to, like, repenting every single time, and he'd just go around it every time. He's like, yeah, on the phone with him. And I walk over to the house, and he's in there with his twin boys. The other boys are running around, whatever. And I says, Shane, enough's enough. So I grab one of the boys. He has the other boy. That's why that's significant. And this is how life happens, right? I walk in his house, and I said, you just need to rededicate your life to God right now. Like, 'cause he grew up in church, at Catholic church, and he was just having all these, like, how do I reconcile with God kind of thing. And I said, this is how we do it. We just pray. Let's do it right now. So he's holding a son, I'm holding one, and we pray right in his living room. After that, they show up at church. His sons are raising their hands in kids' church to receive Jesus. His wife comes to know the Lord shortly after that. She's watching a video at church, gets filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what in the world? She's a physical therapist at a hospital, so she's praying for people as she's working on them, and stuff's happening. People are getting healed and all this crazy stuff. It's just awesome. And then they're studying right now to become pastors. We didn't ask him to do that. God's he's a pharmacist tech, so he's, you know, it's crazy. And this is in Minnesota. This is in Mora. This is where, like, yeah, northern Minnesota, man. And the funny part is, I didn't even know his name yet to pray for him. The funny part is, I didn't know anybody on the block. And God just put it right there. So as we go about this, we're going to get a chance every day of our life, multiple chances, actually, to hear the voice of God. Now, if you do a word study on the word hear and obey, it's a synonymous word. It's a two-part singular word. Hearing and obeying are the same thing. You hear it, you do it. That's how the ancient Hebrews understood it. You hear and obey. That's how it happens. And we get plenty of chances to do that each day, but we have to tune our ears in to hear what God is saying, and then let him speak it, and then we just do it. Sometimes it's really, really, really simple, like answering a question. What's that all about? I could have taken that a different route. I could have just said, I have no idea. Where would it have gone then? But all of a sudden, I open my mouth, and out comes words that weren't even in my head. They just flew out of my mouth. I'm like, wow, I just said that. Hopefully, he doesn't think I'm crazy and never talk to me again. And then he's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I couldn't believe it. Like, what? You have chance or opportunities, not just chances. That's a little too out there. We have opportunity every day to help people take one step closer to Christ. And how you give and how you help us be a link. We are your link to the world in the former Soviet Republic of Lithuania now. How you help us be that link in your partnership with us is the same as how God is using you to be the link to your world right around you. He wants you to be the link to right here. Amen? Amen. One more story about your partnership with us, what it has produced in Estonia. And we tell you all these stories in Estonia because, you know, you need to hear what has happened. And also, I want to just take a second. draw your attention to the table. Please take fresh prayer cards. We did stick some more in the little holder over here. But there's also magazines on the table. Feel free to take those. They are what has happened in Estonia. So those are some of the early stories. Assemblies of God, World Mission sent over a photojournalism team, and they made a whole magazine. You'll actually see us in there, too, and we're like, wow, we're in a magazine. That's kind of crazy. And it's back there. You can take them for free and read them. So please do that. And pray the same things over Lithuania. We believe that God is going to grab a hold of that city of Vilnius, 500,000 people, and he's going to take people who say 76% of them say that they're Catholic in the country, but less than 1% of them even believe that going to church is important. Those numbers don't even, they're not even close. They don't add up at all. But we know that God can do amazing things with that situation. If you're used to farming or you're paying attention to farming, what the field looks white, and that means that it's dead and dry, right? I don't really know a whole lot about farming, but I know that part. Is that when it's dry and it's dead, you need to hurry up and get it harvested, right? Especially like wheat. That's what I'm thinking of particularly because I don't really know anything. But wheat does that. And the field looks dead in Eastern Europe. Really looks dead. Like these people walking around, they look sad. They look mopey. They're filling their lives with all kinds of things to try to fix these needs. But we know what's going to fix the need. To meet the need, amen? One story is we had a young man come and his sister come to the Alpha course, the same one that Kristen came to, actually. And his name is Marty, and his sister's name is Kertu. And they came in, and we're like, oh, these guys are fun. But we had two tables. They sat the other one, so we didn't get to know them too well real fast. But the first 2 weeks, Kertu was there, and then she had to go because she had this job lined up to be a nanny on some yacht in the Mediterranean. Sounds really, really ritzy and really great, but it ended up being a really terrible like deal, so she quit, and she was stuck in like Morocco, which sounds really terrible too, but you know, Morocco is really nice, but she was stuck there for the better part of the summer. And meanwhile, her brother, Marty, was at church, and he was coming to this Alpha course first. And it was about 8 or 9 weeks, and then he started coming to church. And then he started hearing about this thing that we do with the church called SOAP, so Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer, just a simple acronym to help you remember what to do with a verse that stands out. So you find one that stands out, and then you write your thought about it, and then you write your prayer about it, pretty much is what goes on. And he started hearing about that, and he started hearing about all the different opportunities to serve every single time. I'm telling you what. Every single time we ever call him, he always says yes. And he changes his plans to come help us do, like, medial things at the operations center. Like, he comes over at a moment's notice. And then he goes on and on into church, and he gives his life to Christ right away. He totally starts taking on this SOAP thing. He starts reading them every single day. We're on this retreat at Alpha. He's already doing the SOAPs every day. And I'm like, Marty, how many days have you done this? And he's like, oh, I don't know, like 65. I'm like, you're an animal. I don't know what it was. It was a whole bunch of days. And then I asked somebody like a year later, I says, how many days was it? And he told me the number of days. And he's like, I haven't missed a single one. I take it everywhere. Even if I'm in an airplane or wherever I'm at, I do it on vacation. I'm like, man, you're an animal, Marty. So the year goes by. Man, it must have been 6 or 8 months, I guess, since Kirtu had left. She finally comes back, and we're all like, yay, Kirtu, you're back. And she had knew what her brother was like when she left. I mean, he was a nice guy before he knew Christ, but he was even like this determination to know who God is and to read his word and all this. And she walks up to us and is like, what have you done? Like, what's happened to my brother? This is amazing. I want this too. And so she gives her life to Christ. She starts going and getting involved with SOAP, and she starts figuring out personal discipleship. She starts going after it, and she's now one of the main leaders at Focus Church as well. So we came over, we planted a church with 12 missionary adults, seven missionary kids, and that's what we started with. We had over 30 visitors come, like 30 different trips with multiple numbers of people on each of those trips. And now the church is running 150 people, running two services on a Sunday morning. That's your church too. Hello. You're supporting that church, right? You helped build that church because you supported it in prayer and finances. So that's something you can rejoice over and say, yes, we helped do this. You know what I think? You get a big jewel in your crown when you get to heaven for that whole deal, because it's still going. And out of that church, what our goal was to see a church be planted that's already pregnant with the next church plant. So now a missionary out of nowhere, like, they call us up and say, guess what? We're looking for a new field because we're done in Mongolia over here, and we know our time is done here, so we need to transition. Can we come and see about Estonia and see if we could work with you guys for a while and check it out? They're in the magazine, too. You can read their story. But Bob and Chrissy came, and now they're going to plant a church in West Tallinn. So they're going back to Tallinn, Estonia, just the beginning of August, and we're coming back to the area in the end of August. And it's amazing because now we have a church planting network, not just one church, but we have three gonna start really soon. And it's a church planting network that it was from the very beginning that we wanted to start. And then each of our churches that we're planting, we don't want them just to become a church and then get big to a certain point and then we'd be like, hey, we've made it to this, you know, 100-person mark or whatever. No, when we get to a certain point, we want to say, all right, now who's going to plant the next church? And we're also working on planting Chi Alpha churches in college campuses. And we're working on planting churches. We want to just get churches planted everywhere. And we want to attack Latvia with church planting because right now there are no Assemblies of God missionaries in Latvia because they've all either moved on or retired. So we're praying that God would send workers to that field. Out of these three countries, their land mass is virtually the same as Minnesota, if not smaller, and has right around exactly the same population. There's, if you think about all the churches in Minnesota, there's a lot of churches. But if you go to the Baltics, you'll see in the Pentecostal Union, in each of the countries, there's about 35 to 40 churches in each country. Okay, for 1.5 million people to squeeze into 40 churches that only seat like 50 people tops, it's not going to work. So there's plenty of work to be done. And people ask us, why would you go there? Why now? Because the opportunity is now that we can walk in on religious visas and we can work and we can do the work of the ministry as the work of the ministry. We don't have to have a cover, which isn't always a bad thing, but it's great. We can go in and tell them exactly what we're doing, and we don't have to worry about them throwing us in the clink because of it. So it's a great deal. The door of opportunity is open now to reach the Baltics and to accelerate a church planting movement that we're starting alongside of the Pentecostal unions, and also accelerate the Pentecostal unions to church planting and to multiplication and to discipleship as we are doing it as well. So I want to ask, if you want to take another step closer to Christ in the sense that you want your ears and your heart to be tuned in to him, so that as your day goes along, as phone calls happen, as text messages happen, as Facebook messages happen, as people are calling you, I saw a walkie-talkie back there, even on a walkie-talkie, if they're calling you, that you have answers that are going to bring nourishment to their soul, and it's going to bring them a step closer to Christ. If you want to be attentive to the Holy Spirit like that, I would like for you to respond, and I just want to pray for you. Responding by simply just standing up, saying, I'm not going to sit here, Luke, I'm not going to be the same guy I was yesterday and just sit here and go, well, God's going to use everybody else to reach the people around me. No, no, no. God, how can you use me? Because I know that there are needs around me, God, and I want my ears, my eyes, and my heart to be attentive to those needs, and I want my feet to be quick to, and my hands quick to obey what you're telling me to do about those needs. Amen? If you want to be like that, quick to respond to what the Lord is prompting you to do, I'd like you to stand, and I just want to pray over you and your city at this time. God, I thank you that in this room we don't have people that just stare at the wall and say, I don't want to see anything change in my city. But God, these people are wanting and desiring to be used in the way that you designed them to reach people around them. God, they don't have to become a whole different person just to do what you're asking them to do. They don't need to become some famous preacher in order to speak to their neighbor. But God, you're going to use them in the way that they speak, in the way that they communicate, in all the different attributes of their life. You're going to use them to speak to family and friends and relatives and coworkers and neighbors and perfect strangers. You're going to use them. Lord, I pray right now in this room that you would sensitize our hearts to hear your voice. Our ears would be so attentive to your voice. And Lord, I pray that our minds would not have so much power to shut off what you're saying and to make excuses or reasoning that would overpower and say, no, don't do that. But our hearts would overwhelm our brains sometimes and say, no, I need to take this step of faith and I need to either bless this person or help pull this person out of the ditch or whatever it is, that we would show your love. We would exercise grace and patience and mercy with people as you do the same with us. Lord, I pray that you would sensitize our hearts and you would motivate our feet and our hands to do the good works you have planned out for us in advance to do. Help us bring our friends, our relatives, our people, and our circle of life. You would help us bring them a step closer to you every day. And Lord, help us as well as we're striving each day to know you more. Help us gain another step closer to you so we can see your eyes of fire and your hair and your head white like wool, as white as snow. Lord, that we could see you as the Bible tries to describe your glory and your splendor. Help us see you as well. Lord, we want to know you deeper. We want to know you more richly. And we want others around us to know you. Lord, we pray for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Big Fork and the surrounding area. We pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to draw all men unto yourself. Lord, you draw all men unto yourself through us. So, Lord, I pray that you would do a mighty work of the Holy Spirit inside of our hearts and our minds, that we would know you deeply and richly, and that people would be drawn to us simply by opening our garage door, like it happened in Mora to us. God, let it be that as people see us, they're drawn to us, and that they ask us that question, what must I do to be saved? Why am I drawn to you? And we would simply tell them, so I can draw you unto Christ. And then we would be able to walk with them through that process. God, we pray that you would do this. You would do this way beyond what we could ask, think, or imagine. And that our hearts would be lit on fire for you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Luke and Tanya, for sharing your heart. Did you catch that, church? It doesn't take a degree. It doesn't take this colossal knowledge of the Bible to walk in obedience to Jesus. I mean, just I've been doing what I can to live that out before you as your pastor, and you see, like, we don't have as a church, we don't have money to put in a skating rink. We don't have money to put in a disc golf course. We don't have money to bless so many people with help around town, but God's provided a way for us to do it because we've walked in obedience. And it's not just me that's been walking in obedience. It's the church. You guys have jumped on board. You guys have been helping. Otherwise, we wouldn't see that field out there just about level, 2 inches off, right? We wouldn't see the parking lot progress. Because it's not just me. I'm not the body of Christ. I am a part of the body of Christ along with you. And Luke and Tanya are a part of the body of Christ. And in our Core 4 class, we talk about connection points, that it's our heart to build this church to where we can establish connection points in our region, but we also have connection points around the world, and they are one of our connection points. And you see that church planner's heart that we've been sowing into in Estonia, and now that's shifting over to Lithuania. And it's a branch of what's happened in Estonia that we have sown into. And so today, last night, as we were talking, because you just got to deal with the logistics of a service and talk about the offering and that and this and that. They've got a partner who is up to $50,000 matching what people do. And so we're going to take up an offering, and if you've got $50,000 to write a check to them, go ahead. I don't know if anybody's there who has $50,000 to do that today, but if you do and God's leading you to, praise the Lord. But we're not all called to do those crazy big things. We're all called to do our part. And so this morning, I'm not asking you to give this grandiose offering, but I am asking you to be obedient to the Lord. And if you'll be obedient to the Lord, we can send Luke and Tanya away with a blessing fitting the kingdom of God. But it takes all of us to work together. And so we'll give them the honorarium that we give all our guests, but we wanna do right by them. We wanna not just send them, but also thank them for their faithfulness to the Lord, for their faithfulness to taking their kids to live in a foreign country. Or they don't speak the same language in Lithuania as they do in Estonia, do they? Oh, bummer. So now they got to learn another one. and so it's really a thank you to be our branch out there. And so we'll post this online. So if you're listening online, you can when after the message is done, you can click over to the online giving and just designate Luke and Tanya McKinley if you wanna give online, or if that's how you need to do it this morning, you can do that as well. You can just pull out your phone right now and do it. You don't have to wait till later. But we want to bless them. We're not a huge church, but we can be a big blessing. Amen. That was weak. So you put away the Southern stuff as soon as he sat down. Is that the deal? but we're gonna take up an offering in just a moment. And remember, whatever you do give, that it's gonna be matched. And so for a time here, and because how many of you know that there's times when God lays it on people's hearts to see how the kingdom of God responds. And so there's times when God says, I'm going to wait to see how much I'm going to bless you, to see how obedient you are, how you respond to me. And it's according to that that your blessing gets poured out. According to the same measure that you give, will it be given back to you? Amen? And so I'm not preaching that if you give $20 that it's going to come back to you. $20 is going to come back. But I'm saying with the same measure that you give, it will be given unto you. And so sometimes that's a spiritual blessing. Sometimes that's your child coming to know the Lord. Sometimes that's people in this region are going. It's going to break chains in this region, just by you being obedient to Jesus. So be obedient this morning, dear Heavenly Father. We come before you. Thank you. Thank you for Luke and Tanya. Thank you for their friendship. But thank you for their ministry. For the lives that have been changed by the power of the gospel. And Lord, thank you for, as we move forward with this word that was given this morning, Lord, thank you that we can be a part. God, we're linked together in the kingdom of God with Focus Church in Estonia, with the church that's soon to be in Lithuania. Lord, we're linked with them through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that as we sow into this ministry, that your word, where you promise that with the same measure that you give, it will be given unto you. Lord, I pray that that will be carried out in our lives. Lord, bless those who are giving. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to Luke and Tanya today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you catch that when he said, the question was, what was it? Do you believe in God or does God exist? And he said, no. And then when the question was, who is Jesus? He said, a son of God or something like that. You know, where there's darkness, there's confusion. You don't know where to turn. You don't know where to run. And there's people in our city who are living in darkness. And we're called to be a light. We're called to be a light in the midst of the darkness, to shine the light on the truth. Oh. To shine a light on the truth. And just like Luke was saying, it's not a matter of being in people's face. There's people with the gift of evangelism who God's given them the grace to be in people's face to point out the darkness. But most of us, that's not the case. I know growing up in Grand Rapids, we'd go down to Twin Cities Outreach and go knocking on doors and door-to-door witnessing, and it scared the bejeebers out of me because that's not how I'm wired. Morgan doesn't have any bejeebers. But there's things that he's calling you to do that are in line with who you are, who he's created you to be the light. And it says when the owner of the house lights a lamp, he doesn't hide it. He puts it on a pedestal for all to see. He says, you're a city on a hill, so that when in the night when that city's lit up, you can see where the city is if you're far off, and you can still make it to the city if you're in the darkness. And so he's placed us as beacons of light in our community to turn people's attention back to Jesus one step at a time. And so this is how this city is going to get reached, not because Pastor Brian's here. Now, because I'm here, I know that people in this city's lives are going to be changed because I'm going to be obedient. But I can only do so much. If we team together and if we're all operating in obedience, then we can see this entire city changed. We can see the economy of this city changed. We can see the darkness flee before our very eyes if we will band together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And hear me, not just Assemblies of God, but Assemblies of God, Lutheran, Presbyterian, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus and is a part of the body of Christ. It's not about denomination. But as we come together and as we serve this community, and that's what these projects are all about, that's why we send Luke and Tanya, because we want to link together and see the world changed. And how is the world changed? The world's changed when the individuals within the world change their world. And it all works together in the kingdom of God. So let's pray. And then we'll go. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for those who stood today. Lord, place a burden on our hearts for the lost. Help us to see the enemy behind the facade. Help us to see the root of the problem, not just the symptoms of the problem. Help us to see that when our coworkers are mean to us, that it's not because they don't like us. It's because they're going through crud, that they that they don't understand how to make it through under their own strength because they weren't designed to walk under their own strength, that they need the strength of Jesus. Help us to see those things and help us to point their eyes to the one, the Savior of the world, the giver of hope, the giver of life, Jesus Christ. Help us to take those small steps of obedience that you're calling us to and to move us closer and closer so that when you ask us to take the bigger steps of obedience, we'll be able to trust you. But that's not where you started. You started in the little steps. You start with things that we can say yes to if we're willing. We love you, Jesus. And we pray for the spiritual atmosphere of Big Fork as over the next few weeks we serve this community. I pray that the spiritual atmosphere in Big Fork will start to stir. I pray that the enemy will start to tremble because of what's coming, that he can't stop because he is powerless against the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One last thing, church. Last week I preached, engage the fight. The enemy is not going to sit by while we attack through acts of service. He's going to be on the prowl. He's going to be on the defensive. And his defense is trying to get us to think he's on the offensive. But he's powerless against the kingdom of God. So if you've got something that you're struggling with, that you're going through, link arms with the body of Christ. Don't try to do it in isolation, but link arms with the body of Christ. Reach out to somebody. Ask for prayer. Pray first. Then figure out what to do under the leading of God. So often we try to figure out what to do and then prayer is the afterthought. But pray first. Come against the enemy. Read the scriptures and put him in his place according to what it says in scripture. Because God's word will not return void and it's powerful. It's powerful. And it's our sword. It's how we attack the enemy. That's the only thing we have to attack the enemy. Keep your shield of faith up. Fight for your faith. And remember, don't try to do things alone, especially when the enemy's on the attack. I just felt like there was a wedge this week coming between me and somebody else. So I went to him and I just said, I just feel like there's something coming between us. And I don't want it to come. I don't want, and I couldn't put words to what it was, but I said, I don't want that to happen. And so I'm just bringing it out in the open. And there was really nothing. But just because I said it, it was done. The enemy's trying to do something here, and I don't want him to do it, and so it was done, and so don't be afraid to reach out if you feel that there's a root of bitterness, a root of anger, a root of anything, and too often the enemy will make it seem like it's the other person's root of bitterness that's a cause, right? And so even this week, I encourage you to be in prayer about, Lord, is there something in my heart against a brother or sister in Christ that I need to clear the air? Like sometimes we talk about forgiveness, and sometimes it's all it is just clearing the air and just making sure that everybody's on the same page. And so don't let the enemy gain a good foothold to tear down what God is doing in his kingdom. God bless you. Have an awesome day. An awesome day. And walk with Jesus.